Please turn to Genesis chapter 49, please, brethren. Genesis chapter 49. This is the section here, Jacob's last words to his sons. And so as Jacob was dying, he issued some blessings and also some prophecies regarding his 12 sons. In the order of their births. And he began with Reuben. So Genesis chapter 49 and verse 3, just this one verse. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. The word beginning there is the Hebrew word reshith, and it means first fruit. So it's Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning, the first fruits of my strength. If Fish or I was going to make a similar proclamation, we would say, Joanne, you are my firstborn and you are very special to me. We'd say something like that. And also our other firstborn children here today, Zane, Madison, you too are very special to your parents. And before I go any further, for the benefit of the children who are not firstborn in their families, I should stress to you that we parents and we grandparents certainly do not love you any less than your older brothers and sisters. So as I continue with this, please don't think that we do. In ancient Israel, however, the firstborn son, especially in every family, was considered to be extra special, but only in a ceremonial way. And this ceremonial favoritism within each family was not just a Hebrew tradition. It was a set of rules that were given to them by God through Moses. And all of these were recorded in great detail in the books of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. But I find it amazing, absolutely amazing, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks a couple of years ago, that frequently throughout the Bible, the instructions with regards to the firstborn children are given in the same scriptures, exactly the same scriptures as the instruction for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why? But why? In the sermon today, and on the last day of Unleavened Bread, I'm going to do a couple of split sermons. I'd like to examine the special significance of the connection between the firstborn children, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So first of all then, let's go back to the instructions. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 4, please. Exodus chapter 4. And let's go to the instructions for that first Feast of Unleavened Bread at the time of the Exodus. And let's see how God at that time set apart the firstborn of Old Covenant Israel. Now the Israelites were, by that time, the Israelites were already accustomed to a certain level of special treatment of their firstborn from the period that is covered in the book of Genesis. And I'm sure that you're all familiar with the scriptures that relate to the firstborn in such people as Esau and Jacob, Rachel and Leah, Reuben and Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and what happened in those situations. But here now, at the very beginning of the Lord's commission to Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, despite the fact that the human Israel, who was Jacob, right, you know, whose name the Lord had changed from Jacob, despite the fact that Israel, a man, had an older brother whose name was Esau, the Lord clearly identified the children of Israel, not the children of Esau, the children of Israel collectively as his firstborn. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. And you shall say unto Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the Eternal, Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn. Now that's a way back close to the beginning of Exodus, note that. Lord's warning to Pharaoh, actually to all of the Egyptians, that he would kill their firstborn, it was pre-planned by the Lord right from the beginning. Right from the beginning of, it was not, you've all seen the Ten Commandments movie, and it gives you the idea that it was kind of a last minute thing, that the Lord, he resorted to this when all the other plagues failed to achieve their desired effect. No, he had that planned right from the beginning. Throughout the first 9 plagues, in his mercy, God repeated his warnings to Pharaoh, and that gave him plenty of opportunity to repent. After the 9th plague of darkness, please go over to Exodus 10, Exodus chapter 10, and verse 28, Exodus 10 and verse 28. And Pharaoh said unto him, to Moses, get you from me. Take heed to yourself, see my face no more, for in that day you see my face, you shall die. And Moses said, you have spoken well. You said it. I will see your face again no more. Now the Lord heard what was said here, of course, and while Moses was still in Pharaoh's presence, the Lord communicated this to Moses' mind, Exodus 11 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He will thrust you out hence altogether. Moses then relayed the Lord's words to Pharaoh. Verse 5. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Telling this to Pharaoh. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. Verse 8. And all these your servants shall come down unto me and bow themselves unto me. The Lord gave this as a short-term prophecy, and Moses passed this on to Pharaoh. And bow themselves down unto me, saying, get you out, and all the people that follow you, and after that you will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Now throughout chapter 12, the Lord gives Moses all the detailed instructions of how to keep Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're not going to go through all of them. We've been through them over and over during the years. And then, at the beginning of chapter 13, just over the page, at the beginning of chapter 13, seemingly, right out of the blue, the Lord ever so briefly introduces his setting apart of the firstborn male children within the nation of Israel. Exodus chapter 13 verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb amongst the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. The Lord told Moses to sanctify all Israelite firstborn. The Hebrew verb for sanctify here is kadash, Q-A-D-A-S-H, Strong's 6942, and it can mean to hallow, to dedicate, to make holy, to prepare, to consecrate, to appoint, to purify, to separate, and to set apart. The firstborn was sanctified. In verses 3 to 10, then the Lord continues giving more detailed instructions for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then he comes back to it in verse 11. He returns to the subject of the firstborn and he gives some more detailed rules on this evidently important topic. Exodus chapter 13, verse 11, "And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, that you shall set apart," you know, sanctify again, "will set apart unto the Lord all that opens the matrix," it says, and the matrix is a lady's womb, "and every firstling that comes of a beast," a clean animal, "which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass," which is unclean, obviously, "you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your children shall you redeem." Now, the English word redeem, in simple terms, means to buy back. Okay? So if I sell something to Don, and you know, for $10, and then I want to buy it back, he'd sell it back to me for $20. But to buy back, okay? But if a family's firstborn donkey then was more critical to their livelihood, if they really needed that firstborn donkey, they could buy it back from God by offering a lamb in its stead. Okay. And of course, God did not demand his people to offer their firstborn sons as literal human sacrifices in the way of slaying them. And they too were to be redeemed. They were to be bought back. When we read this, the grammar seems to imply that they too, the male human firstborn, were also to be redeemed by a lamb offering. There seems to be an implication there, but the Lord doesn't exactly say that. He doesn't say that. In fact, he doesn't actually tell us right away exactly what the commanded redemption offering or the redemption price was for those firstborn baby boys, what it was to be. And we're not told until much later, actually in the book of Numbers, and we'll go there soon, that each firstborn baby boy was to be redeemed by a 5-shekel offering. And we'll come to that soon. Well, let's continue in Exodus 13, verse 14. Exodus 13, verse 14. "And it shall be, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this? What is this?' that you shall say unto him, 'By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast.'" We forget about that. They lost a whole bunch of animals in the death of a lot of their animals, but here he killed all of the firstborn animals as well. "Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, the womb, being males, but all the firstborn of my children, my human children, I redeem." Okay, I buy them back from the Lord. Verse 16. "And it shall be for a token upon your hand, and for the frontlets between your eyes, for by strength," and this is a repetition here from verse 14, drives it home for emphasis, By strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So this remarkable relationship between the Israelite firstborn boys and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and redemption is repeated by the Lord in chapter 34. Let's go all the way over to Exodus chapter 34. And verse 18. Exodus 34, verse 18. The Feast of Unleavened Bread shall you keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as Warren drove home that point to us. You shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib you came out from Egypt. All that opens the matrix is mine. And every firstling among your cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you redeem him not, then shall you break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Now the Lord had given additional instructions also back. We're going to go back to chapter 22, please. Chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 29. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe fruits and of your liquors, that's Revised Standard Version says the outflow of your presses, so it would be include wine and brandy and all of that kind of stuff. The firstborn of your sons shall you give unto me, says the Lord. Verse 30, likewise shall you do with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam, with his mother. And on the eighth day, and this is important, you shall give it to me. That eighth day is important as we go through this. So here, the Lord told the Israelites that their firstborn cattle and sheep were to be offered to him on the eighth day of their lives. Likewise, the firstborn of the Israelite male children, or rather, the for most of them, the redemption price of 5 shekels with which the parents were to buy back their baby boys, their newborn baby boys from God, they were to be offered on the baby's eighth day of their lives. And now that particular day, there was something else was going to happen on that day, and that was the day of their circumcision, which, you know, yeah. So the baby boy was presented to God at this time. And even though the parents had already redeemed him with a 5 shekel offering, as we shall see, believe it or not, God still claimed those firstborn baby boys as being special to him, and amazingly, still belonging to him. It should be noted that this eighth day presentation and redemption offering were peculiar to the firstborn boys only. The eighth day presentation and redemption offering were peculiar to the firstborn boys only, and that was in addition to the circumcision of all boys, firstborn and others, okay? And it was in addition to the purification offerings which were required for all newborn babies, boys and girls, firstborn and others, as well as for the ritual purification of the mothers. Let's go to just to explain this more, let's go over to Leviticus chapter 12, because this becomes important as well as we go along. Symbolism of these, God didn't just do these things to complicate matters. he did these things to reveal to us some absolutely fantastic aspects of his plan. So now the purification offerings, there was a sin offering and a burnt offering, and they could be lambs, pigeons, or turtle doves. Okay, let's read it. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, okay, now again, this is firstborn or otherwise, so this is baby boy, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Now in the case of a firstborn baby boy, this was to take place on the same day that he was redeemed or bought back by means of the 5 shekel redemption price. I'm going to put these scriptures together, here a little, there a little. Now later on, another offering was to be given, verse 4. And she shall then continue in the blood of the purifying 33 days. It's 33 days more, okay? She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, okay, a baby girl, then she, the mum, shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, now listen to this now, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb on the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest. Okay. So, two significant points here. And I want to repeat that this offering then was required for all babies, boys, girls, firstborn, otherwise. And also, the mother could not make this offering until her purification time was over. Okay? Verse 7. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood? This is the law for her that has borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles, actually 2 turtle doves, for those of you present who like turtles, or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Please remember that verse 8, because we're going to come back to it. This is not referring, these scriptures here, they're not referring to the redemption offering for firstborn sons. They were to be offered on the 8th day of their life in the firstborn sons. This is referring to the cleansing and the purification offering for the mothers of baby boys or girls, whether firstborn or subsequent children. And this becomes very significant as we continue. But originally then, it appears that the Lord had set apart all firstborn baby boys as belonging to him, and to be used in his service, to be employed in his service. However, at the institution of the Levitical priesthood, God substituted the Levites for his service, for his full-time service, in place of the firstborn of all the tribes. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3, please. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 11. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. Notice that are. It's like he's not letting the firstborn off the hook quite, you know. And you see this again. Instead of all the first, the children of Israel, therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me. I sanctified, I set apart unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. So again, saying, I want those Levites to come in and serve me on a full-time basis, but those firstborn are still mine too. Verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. In there. And you shall take the Levites for me instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,213. Total, 22,273. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. And he says again, I am the Lord. But it turned out, when they did the count, it turned out that although there were 22,273 firstborn males, there were only 22,000 even Levite males, a shortfall of 273. And this shortfall, you know, God is an organized God. God does things by his law. And this shortfall had to be made up for. So here's what he commanded, verse 46. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 273, of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, you shall even take 5 shekels apiece by the poll. After the shekel of the sanctuary shall you take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And you shall give the money wherewith the odd number, 273, of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,335, that's 1,365 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now if you want to check out Moses' accounting, you can get your calculators out, and you can multiply the 273 redeemed firstborn male Israelites by 5 shekels each, and you'll see that it comes out to exactly 1,365 shekels. Still in Numbers now. Chapter 8, please. Go over to chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8 and verse 9. And you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and you shall gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites, And look at this now. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and you shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. Now, verse 13. And you shall set the Levites, now the non-Aaronic Levites, so you had Levites who were in Aaron's family, and you had the rest of the Levites as well, okay? You shall set the non-Aaronic Levites before Aaron, and Aaron was the newly ordained Levitical high priest, and before his sons, okay, so the Aaronic Levites, they were the newly ordained regular, if you like, Levitical priests, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Now, they didn't sacrifice them, didn't kill them, but they were offered to the Lord to do his work on a daily basis. That's what they were. From then on, that was the Levite's job. Okay. Verse 14, thus shall you separate the Levites, going to set apart the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine, he says. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and you shall cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel have I taken them unto me. But, now look at this, the very next verse, for all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, not were, not like, I'll change this and they're not mine anymore because I've got the Levites now. Both man and beast, on the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Now again, there's a hint there that even though God had taken the Levites for his daily service, he still seemed almost reluctant to let the firstborn off the hook. He still seemed to be claiming the firstborn as his own. And he did. And he was. And for good reason. So we'll move along now. Let's go over to chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 8. Look what he says here. This is 10 whole chapters later. So the Levites have been consecrated. The Aaronites have been consecrated as the priesthood. And we go 10 chapters later. I don't know how long that is in time. But look what he says. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, behold, I also have given you the charge of my heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto you have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to your sons by an ordinance forever. Verse 12, all the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and all of the wheat, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given you. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone that is clean in your house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be yours. Everything that opens the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall you surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts you shall redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shall you redeem according to your estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. So, all the first fruits, all the firstlings, and the firstborn were to be given to the Levites on the Lord's behalf for the service of the Lord and his temple. But we see here now, this is after, even after the institution of the Levitical system, God still claimed all the firstfruits, all the firstlings, and all the firstborn of Israel as his own and special to him. And the redemption system of 5 shekels continued. 5 shekels per firstborn boy. Now let's fast forward now. We're going to go forward. Let's go over to Nehemiah chapter 10. It's a shame that the Bible books are presented in such an untimely way. You know, you should have Ezra and Nehemiah, and Esther should be way down there. Anyway, Nehemiah chapter 10, and what's happened here is approximately, possibly even exactly, 1,000 years later, after this day, after the Jews now had gone into captivity and come back again from Babylon, here's what happened. They reinstituted God's ownership of the firstborn. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 34. And we cast the lots upon among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law, verse 35, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord, and verse 36 now, also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. So 1,000 years after those laws were put in place back there to the ancient Israelites, and here we have the returned Jews 1,000 years later come back, and we're going to set this up again. So these post-exile Jews, and they apparently felt, you know, they were quite justified and comfortable going right back to God's laws on this issue and reinstituting the firstborn laws. Now we're going to finish there for today. There's a lot of information there that we've been through. I'm going to come back to it next week on the last day of unleavened bread, and I just ask you, you know, if you have time in your Bible study every day, take a look at some of those verses and turn them over. When I come back to it next week, we'll look at how Jesus fulfilled his own firstborn laws, and also exactly how and why these firstborn laws are very significant to you and me in the modern New Covenant Israel of God.